It's time for Kelly Can Help, hosted by Jeff Kelly, attorney at law with the law office of Jeffrey B. Kelly. And now, here's Jeff Kelly.
Okay. Welcome to the show today. Thank you, Mr. J.D. Hubner. Really appreciate you being here. I'm looking forward to talking to you about patents and helping my listeners and former clients learn all about it. So, J.D., could you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Absolutely. Yeah. And Jeff, thank you for having me on the show. This is it's a pleasure. I'm a patent attorney, and I'm the owner here at Bold Patents Law Firm. We're based out of Montlake Terrace, which is just north of Seattle, Washington. And we help inventors get patents. We're pretty passionate about working with solo and small inventors, small businesses, that is, and really without regard to any kind of technology. So you name it, from your as seen on TV type gadgets, you know, to high powered software apps. We're really kind of across the board.
Excellent, excellent. So how many years have you been in practice?
Just over 5 years.
Okay. Where'd you go to law school?
I went to Seattle U, just right here in South Seattle, and went ahead and got my MBA as well from there. So it's a great institution.
Excellent. How about your undergrad?
University of Washington. Graduated with an industrial engineering degree from there, and kind of a funny story. Kind of went off and chased that engineering dream for a bit. I worked for 10 years at Boeing Aerospace Company. You may have heard of them. They've been in the news lately, mostly bad news, but I think they're on the rebound. I helped design their 787 Dreamliner fiberglass wing technology. Worked there for 10 years as a systems engineer. Wow. And, you know, it was a fantastic company to work for. I just kind of knew I was destined to kind of own my own company or own my own business somehow. And Boeing was actually the company kind enough to put me to school to get my MBA at Seattle U. And that's when I started, you know, planted the seed toward a business ownership and thought about being able to leverage my engineering and technical background into patent law. And so I've been kind of launched into that, helping inventors from the technical side, you know, argue with examiners about getting their patents granted, fell in love with it and started a company around it.
Wow. So like at what point did you realize, hey, I want to go to law school. I think I want to do this.
Well, so I, as part of the MBA curriculum, the last, you know, course you take is a business plan competition. And, I was the only one of the whole school to my business plan was to start a law firm. Okay. And I was really saddened by the fact that I didn't get into the final round, because it just, the judges were like, no one really cares about a law firm. Like, in general, everyone has kind of these hockey stick, you know, startup, you know, app startups or new product whiz bang gadget type companies. But I really liked it because I was kind of in love with the show Shark Tank. And I think a lot of people were when it first launched in the early, I mean, mid 2000s.
Yeah. And, my first favorite show. Absolutely.
Yeah. And they always ask, hey, awesome gadget. Is it patented? Right. Do you have IP protection? That question would always come up, still does.
Yeah.
And because it means a lot. It means it's novel and it means no one else can rip you off. You've got a limited monopoly. You can, you know, have 20 years of run ahead of anybody else. So I said, well, what does it take to become a patent attorney? And, you have to have an engineering or science degree. Okay. Check. You have to go to law school. Okay. Well, that's still yet to be done. And then you're a patent attorney. You've got this sort of special status. And I thought that'd be kind of a fun way to come in with some credentials and create some niche in terms of joining a new services field like law. And I decided right then at the end of that competition, after I kind of worked the numbers and wanted to own my own firm straight out of law school. So that's what I did.
Excellent. So you mentioned that a lot of your clients are small inventors. Who is your typical client?
It's typical, I would say, you know, it's someone who has a day job. Okay. Someone who works, you know, kind of a 9-to-5 or a 40 plus if their hour job, but has got something they're working on the moonlight, right? Some passion project, some dream they're chasing. Maybe they're further along. Maybe they're, half 1 foot out the door where they're part-time with their day job and they're with someone else partnered up. They've got a prototype and this is it. This is, they want to change the world, make a dent. And, go for it, right? Be bold. That's our typical, I mean, we have a little avatar, right? Someone who's about 35 to 50 and has got some working capital, knows how to take something seriously and is investing their time seriously into that. We help secure their IP rights, introduce them to those on the business end. And maybe it's restructuring, right? Maybe it's sending them off to bankruptcy to kind of get their finances in order before they make a jump. And so we really help help our clients there, because it's the big firms that just can't reach, right? They can't relate. They're structured to help big companies. They really aren't positioned to hear stories, to be able to lend that hand down and help someone else up that's just getting started, that needs some education before they really, you know, spend the big bucks. So I've made that part of my mission. And so if you hopped onto YouTube or go to our website, you'd see I've done a lot of YouTube videos. Just what is a patent? What's the difference between that and a trademark? You know, how long are they lasting, right? What is the difference between a design and a utility? You know, it's information that shouldn't be secret. You shouldn't have to pay $500 an hour to learn about. So right. I've got tons of info there, and it's been really helpful.
Do you do trademarked as well?
We do. Yeah. I mean, I advertise, you know, patents, but it's really common that a lot of inventors will get, you know, filed. And then there's that period where you're waiting to hear back from the examiner, and they're ready to get going. They want to launch, they want to do a Kickstarter, or, you know, partner up and start talking to third parties, and you got to protect your brand too. So it's a real natural fit to lock down the trademark. So we do help with research and application filing as well.
Excellent. Excellent. So what do you think is your greatest strength as an attorney? What separates you from the pack?
Well, you know, me personally, doing the legal work is, in most cases, actually not the best fit. Okay. And I say that honestly. I have an unbelievably talented team of patent attorneys. Their experience exceeds my own. My personal best in, where I can help a client the most is kind of doing what we're doing now. And it's networking. It's being able to make a really good referral to help an inventor client be successful. It's the hardest thing is to launch a new product and to actually be successful, right? To make money. It's not easy. All right, 10 million patents issued. I think the last stat I saw was like 4% of all patents will actually, you know, net profit, right? Actually bring in some money. So I try every day to change that stat and to give the inventors the best chance possible in order to make money and connect with individuals to be truly successful.
Yeah. So you can represent somebody anywhere in the United States?
Yeah, it's a federal practice, and same with trademarks, right? So we have inventors from 41 different states. I just had to send it over to my CPA, actually. So yeah, I mean, we're almost everywhere. Our attorneys are kind of sprinkled across the country. We have six, and we're not a gigantic firm yet, but we have six attorneys that are full-time, dedicated, work with inventors all over. Like I said, we do make sure that if they're going to launch a company, start a company, write contracts, negotiate deals, that we make those introductions to state-specific attorneys that know the state law. And so we built a really neat, close referral network that way, where if someone's in, you know, Louisiana, if someone's in, you know, Miami, we've got at least one or two attorneys we can send their way, send them to, to help make sure they've got a good home base, because we're really kind of more like the knee specialist, right? You got to make sure they've got a primary physician, you know, to go to for their everyday needs.
Yeah. Excellent. Excellent. So tell us a little bit about your personal life. You got a family, you got kids?
Yeah, I do. I mean, just outside that door, I think we're all work from our home office these days, right? But yeah, I've got three beautiful kids. Stella is 6 years old. Emma is 4, and Hamilton is 2.5. And, yeah, it's busy. We're doing some homeschooling and, you know, kind of being conservative with the COVID stuff. So, yeah. But it's been a really neat time to spend time with each other. And we wouldn't have been this close if it hadn't have been for that. So there's a lot of cool blessings there. We're living up in Lake Stevens, for anybody that's familiar with that area. And we love it up here. It's nice. It's far enough away from the city. Got great people up here. Like it a lot.
Wonderful. Wonderful. How'd you meet your wife?
We met at University of Washington, actually, freshman year, back in 2003. Well, we were dating different people, but we stayed in touch. She was on one of the only co-ed floors in one of these dorms way back in 03. And we stayed in touch and started dating about 3 years after that. And we've been married now for over 10 years.
Awesome. That's fantastic. Yeah. So, yeah. I wanted to ask you, you know, in the patent world, do you ever have clients, they meet with you and then you say to yourself, man, I really wish you had done fill in the blank before you came to meet me. You know, what kind of pitfalls do you see clients fall into that they could otherwise avoid if they had just come to you sooner?
Yeah. The heartbreak stories are, hey, I've got this amazing invention. I really need your help getting this protected. Here's the link to my website and Amazon page where I've been selling it. And I ask very carefully, how long have you been selling it? And if they tell me more than a year, I have to just, I have to break it to them that it's not eligible for filing.
Okay? Oh.
If you've published or sold your invention for more than a year, you can't file. It's not, right? It's just not going to fit. The patent office will reject it. Even if you were to file it and lie, they'll find out, or anybody you try to sue would find that hole. So it's a tough one. I try to get that message out as much as I can. I wrote a book about it. You know, it's right behind me. I guess I'll pitch the book a little bit. Bold Ideas, The Inventor's Guide to Patents. It's a quick hour read. We got a free PDF download on our boldip.com contact page. And yeah, I mean, that's the number one, Josh. It's like, oh no, don't tell me that. You know, and it's just, there are ways to help, certainly, you know, those folks, because sometimes they're already selling. We can help them, give them an opinion on how to avoid infringing someone else's patent.
Right.
But in terms of securing their own rights, it's by that time too far gone. Yeah.
Oh man, that's brutal.
Yeah. Brutal. Yeah.
How often does that happen?
You know, it's probably one out of 40 potential clients come in, you know, and they've had a Kickstarter up, but there's different flavors. You know, sometimes, you know, they sold, you know, widget A, but in the back they've been working on version two.
Yeah.
And if version two is different enough, you bet we can look into filing and securing what's different,
right?
What's improved. But in almost every case, it's like, oh, it's kind of marginal, right? It's incremental as opposed to what could have been.
Wow. That is some good information right there. That's powerful stuff. I could totally see somebody, you know, they get excited, they invent something. Hey, let's see if we can make some money on it. Wow. And a year goes by and they think,
I know,
we need to get a patent. Wow.
Yeah. I know. So if we can catch them, you know, before that year's up, we usually recommend doing what's called a provisional. Provisional will secure your rights for up to a year. And in that year, that's when you want to do your testing, get your market research, make the improvements, and then file the full non-provisional.
So within that year. You mentioned your website. Is that how most clients contact you?
We get a lot, probably about 60% of our leads come through the website. We're getting, you know, we're really fortunate now to get a good stream of referrals that are coming in. And we do have some paid ads as well. So it's been kind of a mix there.
Yeah.
But I think what's helping people find our website is the blog articles that I've written past couple of years and those YouTube videos that send
boldip.com.
boldip.com. You got it.
And you have a YouTube channel as well?
Yep. Bold Patents. Yeah. Just right up there. So yeah, you check that out. We've got hundreds of videos. The latest ones are, published just last month. And I do a weekly Bold Today show on Wednesday mornings at 9 a.m.
Yeah.
It's kind of like what you're doing, Jeff. I mean, it's kind of like an interview radio show where I'll bring on inventors, actually clients of ours that are willing to share their invention that they're now patent pending with. And I just love it. Just sharing what they've got and inspiring others that are ready to, you know, not sure if they want to get started or not.
Right.
And it's been pretty cool.
That is exciting. That's good stuff. Yeah.
Thanks.
So in your local community, what kind of local organizations are you involved with?
Goodness, it's hard to say. It's hard. I mean, I guess you could say formally, I am part of the Washington State Bar Association.
Yeah.
Also the Washington Patent Law Association. So the WSPLA. Those are the two biggies. Yeah. You know, there's alumni groups, but it's been challenging with COVID, right? A lot of this stuff required these really neat in-person events. And I think everyone's been challenged to kind of, what do we do now? How do we get together? So,
and it's virtual.
You bet.
How about history? I'm a history nut. Do you have a favorite historical figure?
Well, today, top of mind is MLK. I mean, I heard it. One of my mentors, Darren Hardy, had a speech he gave in 1968. It was just unbelievable. 3 months before his death.
Yeah.
Anyway, it was like, wow, that man could speak. I mean, wow, just good. Right to your heart. So, yeah. But yeah, I mean, he's top of mind right now, but I'm not a huge history guy. How about you, Jeff? Who do you love?
You know, I drift, you know what I mean? I drift a lot, but, you know, I'm going to say, a guy that I've been, reading a lot about lately is Genghis Khan. And his story is so fascinating that if I were to tell you Genghis Khan was a space alien, that would be easier to believe than the real story. I mean, it is amazing. I mean, you know, most of these conquerors, you know, they grow up in these highly educated worlds and they're born into privilege and they've had all this extensive training and da 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 da. And for all intents and purposes, he grew up homeless and he wasn't even part of a tribe. And he didn't even want to, all he wanted to do is get married, have kids, and go live in the woods. And somebody made the mistake of coming and stealing his wife. And they stole his wife, and so he had to go become part of a tribe. And he did, and you know the story. He got his wife back, and that's the beginning. That's where it all begins. I mean, it's just...
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay, you have to send me kind of where to start. I mean, if it's a documentary or if it's a book, send me a little piece on that, would you?
Yeah, I sure will. Absolutely.
Okay.
Got some good stuff. Cool. So when you're not working on patents and you're not chasing kids, what do you do for fun?
I do like flag football. We're the weather's pretty rough right now, but you know, when the weather's fair,
yeah,
that's my jam. That's my jam, flag football. I do like basketball too. That's fun. And those are my sports, my go-tos. There's a Puget Sound basketball league I get into.
Excellent. So you still play?
Yeah. Yeah. I'll play a little bit. I mean, we're on like, you know, there's levels. I'm on C, right? Not quite D, but I'm on C. It's competitive. It's fun.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, man, I so appreciate you taking the time to come on the show. I know you're super busy. Is there a phone number that my clients could have if they wanted to reach out to you to call you if they've got something to talk to you about?
Right. I don't know if you can see that, but 800-849-1913. Uh-huh. That's our main line.
Okay.
And you're going to get Amira. You may also, if you call after hours, you'll get our answering service, but we will offer a free screening session. That's what we call it now. Yeah. I have trained advisors. They're not attorneys, but they're darn good. I've trained them myself and they'll help tell you, hey, is patents the right fit right now? I mean, is this the right legal area at all for what you're doing? And if it is, then they'll help you schedule a consultation with either myself or Tom. Tom is our managing attorney. Check out the website, give us a call. You know, that first step is hard, but you gotta be bold. You know, just go see if it's worth going after right now. Don't make that mistake, right? Don't go publishing and selling your invention.
Hey, I mean, without it's talking great. To what us they first. Got to lose?
Exactly. Yeah. Just give us a call. It'd be great. Yeah. And any of your clients, obviously Jeff would be happy that we'd roll the red carpet out and make sure they felt right at home.
Well, I've got a lot of colorful friends and colorful clients. I know somebody out there has got a world famous invention sitting out there somewhere. So they need to give you a call. Okay. Buddy, I appreciate you coming on here. And
you're welcome. Thank you for having me.
I really appreciate it. Thank you, sir.
All right.
Okay, this is Jeff Kelly, and I want to switch gears now that we've concluded the first part of the show, and I want to switch gears here now and talk about bankruptcy, specifically Chapter 7. We've had a lot of issues here recently with the current housing prices sometimes can keep people from filing Chapter 7 right now. A lot of people don't realize this, but in the state of Georgia, the most you're going to be able to protect for a married couple for equity in the house is $43,000. And, you know, in the past, 10 years ago, almost nobody had equity in their house, period, because the real estate market was just horrible. But that's not the case today. I have never in my life seen a real estate market that is as hot as the current one. And, you know, I've got a lot of theories about this. Personally, I think that, you know, we've gone almost a decade without any kind of building boom, particularly for houses in the, you know, $100,000 to $250,000 range. There's not a lot of those houses being built even now. And so it's, you know, when you get a shortage of supply and the demand goes up, that is going to drive prices up. And I'm seeing some of these old homes from the 1960s that, you know, I would think nobody's ever going to want to live in. Nobody would ever buy them because they're so old. They sell, and they sell quick because there's nothing else out there. So another, you know, I want to just emphasize that you have to be careful about filing a Chapter 7, because if you've got a lot of equity in there or enough that a Chapter 7 trustee is interested in and they make a move to sell your house, you can't just quit. You can't just get out of the case and say, oh, psych, never mind. Sorry, I filed. Get me out of here. This is why it's so important to meet with a experienced bankruptcy attorney like we have at my law office and have them review your entire situation and look at the tax value, look at the Zillow value, and have an honest conversation with you. Are you willing to risk your house in a Chapter 7? And, you know, there are some people that say, ha, you know, there's no way you could get X price for my house. And if somebody was going to give me $43,000 and put it in my bank account and sell my house and wipe out all of my debt, I'll take that trade every day of the week. That kind of person can file Chapter 7. But somebody who says, absolutely not, I'm scared to death, I don't want to risk it, I don't want to roll the dice, what are my other options? Well, you could file a Chapter 13. And, you know, one of the differences between a Chapter 13 and a Chapter 7 is you can quit a 13 if you don't like the way things are going. And usually, a Chapter 13 trustee, if we've got an appraisal on the house and we've got tax assessor evaluations, Zillow evaluations, and so forth, they're not going to push hard to kick you out of a case based on the value of your house as long as there's some good reasons to back it up. Now, how does that contrast with a Chapter 7 trustee? Aren't Chapter 7 trustees reasonable? The only thing a Chapter 7 trustee is going to care about is what his realtor says. And if his realtor comes by your house and does a drive-by and says, I know this is a hot area, I think I can do it, let's make it work, house is gone. Not so in a 13. You still have to comply with the code. You've still got to produce some proof that the house is worth X value. But, you know, another interesting difference between the Chapter 13 and the Chapter 7 is that you can't, you know, if let's just make up a number and say there's, you know, $10,000 of equity that we just can't get around. Well, you can file a Chapter 13 and you can pay that $10,000 back through a Chapter 13 plan, and nobody is going to be able to sell or take your house. You're good. So another point I want to emphasize is a lot of people think the only way you're going to wipe out any debt is in a Chapter 7. In Chapter 13, you're paying all of your debt back. That is not the case. You can wipe debt out in a Chapter 13 the same way as a Chapter 7. You know, we just have to look at your income. We have to look at your budget. We have to look at the type of debts. We need to look at your assets, like your house. And so that's why it's so, so important to meet with a bankruptcy attorney who has experience, who knows the ins and outs of bankruptcy and knows where the traps are and how they might affect you individually on your specific case. Oftentimes, I'll have clients that'll come meet with me and they'll say, well, my friend did such and such, and I know I can do it too. Well, not necessarily, because you may have a set of facts in your case that is completely different from your friend's case. But the good news is we offer a free consultation. It doesn't cost you anything. Give us a call at 706-295-0030. We're more than happy to sit down with you. Let us take a look at your situation. Let's make sure that nobody's going to sneak up on you. And we'll go over the 13 option. We'll go over the Chapter 7 option. And another good thing is that right now you can get your case filed. You can actually attend your court hearing without ever leaving your home. It can all be done virtually. It's about the only good thing that has come out of this COVID mess. And I anticipate it's going to be that way for many months to come, you know, until we've got this pandemic well behind us. And even then, I'm not sure they're going to change it back. Who knows? I've got a lot of good resources on bankruptcy. If you get a chance, go to my website, www.kellycanhelp.com. And I've also got a podcast, www.kellybankruptcy.com. You can see some of the episodes from, you know, prior radio show episodes. You can see those where we've interviewed attorneys, and also where I've done, you know, just small podcasting on certain topics like this. Also, I've got a free book on my website. If you scroll down to the bottom of it, you can type in your name, your email address, and we'll email you a digital copy of it immediately. And if you would like to get a hard copy of the book, you can call us 706-295-0030, and we will send you a hard copy while supplies last. Appreciate everybody tuning in today. And, you know, again, if you've got any questions at all, you can shoot us an email at clientservices@kellycanhelp.com. We've got live chat on our website, and you can also call us at that phone number, 706-295-0030. I'd also like to put a quick plug in for my friend who runs a really great church out in Armurchie. His name is Sam Bice. And if you want to talk to a super awesome pastor, get out there and get to know Sam. It's Living Waters Church, Highway 27, right off Martha Berry Highway there. Super, super great guy, super great group of people. Again, if you've got any questions at all, anything related to bankruptcy, don't hesitate to give us a shout. And I appreciate you guys tuning in today. Thank you so much. Have a good one. One more thing I forgot to add. Don't forget, if you know anybody who is behind on house payments, if they are struggling with car payments, they're worried about their car getting repossessed, or they're worried about their house getting foreclosed, tell them to call me, 706-295-0030, because we can help. We can stop foreclosures. We can stop garnishments. We can stop lawsuits. We can stop car repossessions. So if you know anybody who is in those situations, it is a free consultation. We are happy to talk to you and see if we can come up with a plan that works to give you a fresh start. Thank you so much.
You've been listening to Kelly Can Help with Jeff Kelly. Reach out to the law office of Jeffrey B. Kelly today by phone, 706-295-0030 in Rome, or visit kellycanhelp.com.